Good evening. It's a privilege to stand before you tonight to preach the Word of God. And Pastor said I should introduce myself. Pastor, my name is James Daniel Aranias.
Amen.
Okay, so now you know. I dropped the name James because it sounds American. But here I am in the U.S. already. By the way, I come from the Philippines, in Cebu particularly. I was a member of Bible Baptist Church in Mandaue City. We are a product of an American missionary, Dr. Bob Hughes. And my pastor was Ralph Baladhai Sr. He went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. And now the one who is in the church is his son, Dr. Rogelio Baladhai. I was saved when Pastor was not yet born. 36 years ago, I received the Lord as my personal Savior, and I remember the date. It was January 23, 1983. And the following Sunday, I followed the Lord in the waters of baptism. Since then, I have been in the church. I grew up in church, and like many other kids growing up in church, I had to be sure that I am saved. Not just influence, but just being saved. I love the Lord, not because of anything, but because He was. And many people will say, oh, you've been serving the Lord for long. No, this is not counting the years. The length of your service is not the measurement of your faithfulness to the Lord. I have learned in the many years that I have served the Lord only one thing, that I have yet to learn so many things about the Lord. Yeah. I have yet to learn. When I came to Central Valley Baptist Church, I was so blessed, and I would like to thank the pastor and the members for welcoming me to be in this church. And tonight, I'd like to thank the Lord and the pastor for the privilege that I can share the Word of God in front of you online and to the people here in the church. I don't know where to start, but let me start this one so that I can end this. Let me tell you a story about something. If you know this story, just bear with me. Indulge me in this one, please. There was an American who visited Tibet, right? Tibet, he was in a tour to visit monasteries. Okay? While in a group tour, he strayed from the group. Why? Because he followed his ears. He heard a very, very wonderful sound. And he followed that sound, that music, which led him to a certain big door. And he wanted to get inside the door, but the monk there's the monk, because it's a monastery. The monk said, you cannot enter. He said, why? I'm a tourist here. Be a monk first. So he let it off. He went home back to the States. And when he came back to the States, the music that he heard was always on his heart and on his mind. He can never take that music off. It's like hearing angels sing, the heavenly choir singing. So he had to go back the following year, back to that monastery in Tibet. When he came, he again went to the door and said, can I come in and see that? What's inside? Why can I hear a very beautiful music, but I can't see? The one guarding the door said, be a monk first. So after 10 years, he decided to be a monk. Being a monk is not easy because you have to give up everything. So he gave up everything. He went to different monasteries in China, in Nepal, in Tibet, in wherever in Asia. One day, after 10 years, he came back to that place. And he was now a monk. He went to the door and asked, can I come in? Can I come in? The one guarding the door told him, gladly, you can come in. After 20 years of hearing that music, when the door was open, he was very happy. He saw the most wonderful thing that his eyes could ever see. After 20 years of imagining what was that, he saw what his heart desired in 20 years. I was tasked by Pastor to preach on Proverbs chapter 13. Looking at the messages every Wednesday, I listened to Brother Linder, who preached a wonderful message by the grace of God, to God be the glory, about words. I listened to Brother Stanley. I listened to all the preachers about Proverbs. And here I was receiving a text message from Pastor last Wednesday. He said, "Brother, could you preach Proverbs chapter 13? So I was scrolling around reading Proverbs 13. It talks of instructions. It talks of riches. It talks of wealth. And it talks of discipline. So many things that you can learn. But one thing attracted my attention, and I believe the Holy Spirit guided me to this verse. Why? Because when I study this verse, it's like I'm preaching to myself. Our text tonight is in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12. The Bible tells us, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. In other words, hope delayed maketh the heart sick. This is not a new message. This is not a unique message. I just heard this message, but I was blessed by this message. In fact, I got convicted with this message, and I would gladly share it to you in the hopes that God will also bless your heart with this message. Now, what are we talking about? You know what? The problem right now with husbands and wives is that the wives keeps the husband waiting. Waiting! Waiting! Someone said, waiting is like eating gravel. Nobody in their right minds wants to do it. Right? Waiting! We hate to wait. We go to In-N-Out. If the line is long, we get out. In the supermarket, in Walmart, when we push our cart, we look for the shortest line. Why? Because we hate to wait. Right? Hope deferred can cause our hearts or our faith to waver, or cause us to learn to lean on our own understanding and try to help God. We try to help God. God, let me help you. Okay? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, dear Lord, for this privilege that you have given to us. Thank you, God, for thy word. I pray, dear Lord, that you will bless my mouth and my mind. Use me, dear Lord. Let the Holy Spirit work in our midst as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've said, if we are impatient, if we do not want to wait, we would try to help God. God, let me help you so that I can get this thing. We try to help God by creating our own path for something that we are hoping for. Can you think of a time when you tried to hurry things up and then we ended up messing things? Why? Because we hurried. A typical example is Abraham and Sarah. God promised Abraham, "You will be the father of many nations." And he told Abraham that during his 100th birthday. So what did Sarah do? He said, oh, she laughed at God's promise. But she believed in God's promise. Why? She gave one of her maids to Abraham. Why? They wanted to help God. What ended up? They messed things up. Trouble with a big capital T. Patience can be very hard to have when you're waiting for something or someone. Tonight, let's study about learning to wait on the Lord. Learning to wait on God. The problem with us is we are impatient. We are all impatient. It's like when you're going to church and after the last singing, after the prayer, go home. Why? We want to get out of church. We have to do something else. Oh, did I finish my story? I did not, right? Where were we? Let me finish my story first. Going back to the monk, Brother Kalik, when the monk entered the gate, he saw the most beautiful thing that was in front of his eyes. Do you know what it is? Can you guess what it is? Do you want to know? Yes? Be a monk first. Thank you for laughing. Okay? Going back to our lesson. Sometimes it seems that God is running late. Seriously. We pray, we kneel down, and it seems that God is not answering our prayer. We know God is powerful. We know God is all-knowing. But sometimes we question him because why is God delayed? Why is he delayed? But we all know that delays are inevitable. Waiting is part of life. Waiting is part of life. I know, Brother Kalik, you're just here. I'm sorry I embarrass you. You're here. I know you're waiting. You're waiting to be like Brother Andrew. Right? There's a story also of a man who was visiting a local department store with his wife, and they were buying an item of luggage and a cooler. So, you know, men, I don't know about you, Pastor, but when we go shopping, I look for a place and sit down while waiting for my wife. So this man was dragging his luggage and the cooler and sitting at the shoe department when another guy came to him and said, "Sir, can I help you with something?" The salesman said, and the guy said, no, it's okay. I'm just waiting for my wife." At that point, the other guy in the other chair said, "Wow, I'm waiting for my wife too. But I never thought of bringing lunch and an overnight bag with me." In what situation are we most impatient? When is waiting the hardest? You know what? Waiting is the hardest when it is near already. Have you ever prayed for patience? I've heard someone who said, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." When you ask God for patience, you are really asking God to send you some delays in your life. There's a saying which says, patience, you know that, right? It's a virtue that carries a lot of weight. W-A-I-T. Patience is a virtue that carries a lot of weight. Things don't always happen as quickly as we want. Things don't go our way sometimes. Even though it's hard to believe, there are positive things we can learn during the delays that come into our life. Well, the Bible is filled with people who experience delays. Tonight, let's talk of Joseph. Joseph was a guy who spent all of his life waiting. It seems that his life was always on hold. Sadly, there wasn't much that Joseph could do. His brothers threw him in the pit. They sold him to people. He went into Egypt. He went into prison and all this and that. Nothing seems to come out of it, or so Joseph thought. But tonight, let us learn a few things, three things actually. Learn from the delays that come our way. I believe that the delays will provide us an opportunity to learn some valuable lessons that Joseph learned. Number one, Joseph learned to trust in God's person. Trusting in God's person. Our key verse tells us, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." What causes our hope to be deferred or delayed? Our hope is delayed when we put our trust in the wrong things. Whenever our hope is bounded by anything that is tangible, it is at risk of being delayed. You see, like Joseph, we live in this sinful world. And regardless of how detailed or how well thought of our plans or how righteous we live or how worthy our goals may be, things don't always go our way. Things don't always go our way. That is why our hope must always be based on the unchanging nature of the character of Jesus Christ. You don't even have to trust in yourself, right? There's a saying that says, never trust yourself. Why? Because even your shadow will leave you in the dark. Even your shadow will leave you in the dark. There's one basic thing that kept Joseph's hope alive, even though his life was filled with the most trying of delays. Joseph knew God. Tonight, if you have a personal relationship with God, many things will come into your life. Many things, many happenings, many events. But remember, God is always in control. He is a faithful God. He is a God who delivers every time. We thought that He is late. We thought that He is delayed, but God is always on time. You can depend on God. And God is always with us. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this evening, if you have accepted Him as your Lord and personal Savior, believe you me, God is with you. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. He goes further. I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No one can pluck them out of my hand. So whatever is the circumstance surrounding you, remember to trust in the person of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, it is a very familiar verse. It says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Instead of complaining, why don't we thank the Lord every morning? Thank you, God. I'm alive. I think I'm preaching to myself because I have, Pastor knows this. I texted him, Pastor, please pray for me for something. Sometimes we forget, even though our pastor reminds us every Sunday morning, Christ is greater. He's greater than our problems. He is greater than everything in the world. Trust in the person of God. You are not with someone else. Your wife, your husband may fail you. Your kids may fail you. Your parents may fail you. But God will never fail you. You'll just have to learn to wait on him. You'll just have to learn to put your trust in him. Number one, Joseph learned to trust in God's person. Number two, Joseph learned to trust in God's purpose. He learned to trust in God's purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. I never imagined that after being a year in this place, I would be standing before you. I don't know yet what's the purpose of God, but God has a purpose. I question myself, Lord, am I worthy for this? I don't know. I know I'm not worthy, but Lord, if it is your will, if it is your purpose, I will answer my pastor. Because back in our church, we were taught, never say no to blessing. And sharing the word of God is blessing. I don't know what blessing is in store for me, but I know God has a purpose. Delays, time of waiting, when life seems to be on hold, are the times we learn that God is still working on us. While waiting, Joseph was waiting. There had been times when it seems nothing was happening to him. There were times when he felt, what's happening? I'm in prison. I've been in prison all my life since my brothers threw me. It was through the delay of life that Joseph learned, even when nothing is happening, God is always working behind the scenes. I remember telling my wife last week when I received the text message, Mom, pastor asked me to preach. He said, then, oh, this is a long wait. I've had sleepless nights, but last night I slept very well. I said, why? Why is this happening to us? But my wife said, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. What happened to Joseph is what happens to us. There are delays in our life, and the things we experience seems to be just a series of unrelated things, right? This happened to us, this happened to... But in the end, we will know what is the purpose of God. Joseph did not know it. Joseph did not have the privilege of knowing the ending. It's good for us that we have the Bible. It said, oh, Joseph was in prison. Oh, Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. That's why he got into prison. Oh, in prison, he interpreted dreams. Oh, and in prison, the butler told the king about Joseph. And then he became a ruler in Egypt, the number two guy in Egypt. From rags to riches, the success story. Joseph did not know that. There was no Netflix at that time. But he believed in God's purpose. Jesus told his brethren in Genesis chapter 45 and verse number 5, God did send me before you to preserve life. What if his brothers did not throw him in the pit? What if they did not get him out of the pit and sold him to the slave traders. So there would be no one to prepare them for the famine. But God meant it to preserve their lives. So there are so many things in our life that we don't know. Does this have a meaning in my life? Why am I here? Why is this happening to me? Remember, God has a purpose in your life. God has a purpose. Do you remember? I don't know. This, you're young, you know. You don't watch the A-Team. You watch the A-Team, yeah? You remember Hannibal Smith when he says, "I love it when the plan comes together." Yeah? I love it when the plan comes together. It's just like saying, "Oh, God put everything in pieces." Yeah? "God, why did you not let me know?" "Oh, you're in a need-to-know basis." Yeah. If you would know everything, then you will not believe in me, because you will know the ending, right? I call myself a TV addict. You know, if I see this is thrilling, I go fast forward and look at the ending. Oh, this is ending. Okay, I go back. We don't have the privilege of that. We have to learn to live our life day by day. We have to learn to live our life trusting in God's purpose every day. Anybody who thinks that he's going to live his life, he's going to direct his life in his own way, is crazy. I am, the poem says, I am the captain of my ship, or is it the master of my soul, or anything? It's crazy. And it will lead to destruction. It will lead to destruction. A life that is not guided by God leads to destruction. Leads to destruction. God, I don't believe in karma, but people say, "Oh, this is karma. What have I done wrong? I get sick. I have no job. I have no money. Lord, why should I be faithful? You did not bless me." Why? Because we count money as blessing. Money is blessing, but it is the least of all the blessings. Why? Money will not stay in your pocket. Payday comes, get your check, put it in the bank. Bills. They go to bills. You know what stays? The peace of God.
Amen.
The peace with God. Those are two different things. The peace of God and the peace with God. The peace with God is when you have a relationship with God. God says, "You are not condemned already. So you have made peace with God." And the peace of God, what's it? It passeth all understanding. Whatever the situation, recession, COVID-19, anything and everything. Our pastor always teaches, don't worry about the tribulation. You will not be here. You will not be here. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But thank God, we will not be here during the actual tribulation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Do you know Job? What did God say to Satan? "Okay, Job, bring your worst, but just don't mess with his life. Don't take his life. Bring your worst to my man, Job." Said, "If I will persecute him, he will give you up." Okay, do your worst. Did Job give up God? Well, his wife told him, "Hey, Job, curse God and die." But Job remained faithful. Why? Because he knew and trusted God's person. And number two, he knew and learned to trust in God's purpose. And number three, Joseph learned to trust in God's process. God's process. There was a pastor, I don't know if he's from the Central Valley, I don't know, who went inside his church and he was praying to God. While he was praying, he asked God, "God, how long is 10 million years?" And God replied, "Oh, it's only a second." The next day, the pastor prayed again and said, "God, How much is $10 million to you? God replied, oh, it's just a penny. Then finally, the next day, the pastor said, God, can I have one penny? God replied, just a second. Just a second. Isaiah 55 verse 8 tells us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We have a well-meaning plan for our life, but God's ways are different. We want to go to the free way of life, but God wants us to pass the side streets where there is danger, where there is so many things that could happen. Why? He doesn't want us to trust in ourselves. God wants us to trust in Him. I remember the song, I just keep trusting my Lord. I just keep trusting my Lord. I don't know the next thing. I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend. What's the next? To the very end. Okay, but that is, I did not plan to sing. I was just so blessed with the special, the COVID-19 choir. God's ways are not our ways. God will often not work according to our plans. We don't really know exactly how long Joseph was in prison before the cupbearer and the baker showed up. We don't know how long he sat in prison. We don't know so many things. But God revealed them in His time. In His time. God is not late. God is always on time. What is His time? His time is not our time. Remember? 10,000 years is how many to the Lord? It's just a day. And a day, how many to Him? So when He answers our prayer, remember, He doesn't follow our time. You know, we Christians, sometimes we want the Lord to answer us. Oh, the Lord did not answer my prayer. There are three answers to our prayer. Mostly three answers. Number one is yes, which is not always what God gives. Number two is a no, which is always there. Number three is wait. So, oh, God did not answer. God answered. The answer is just no, right? Why? Because you're praying for something that you're not worthy. He said, brother, God did not answer my prayer. What were you praying for? I pray that He will give me a private jet. Of course, God will not answer because you don't have an airport. See? We always ask what we want, not what we need. God says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. We have a very rich God, and He can supply our need, not in our time. It's a good thing if God's time, it will coincide with your time, but not always. God has His own ways, right? What's the difference between God and man? Simple. God can be God without you, but you cannot be without God. God doesn't need us. We need God. We need Him. Why? What's the difference between me and God? I can make something out of nothing. I can make something out of something. I'm sorry. I can make wood into a chair or a pulpit, but God is different. He can make something out of nothing. He get a clay, molded it, breath, and that breath of life. He can make so many things. He can even save our soul when you fully trust in Him. And while it's not fun, sometimes that's the way for us. We have to wait. I always remind myself, I have to wait. Whatever I ask the Lord, even how well-meaning, even it is for His own glory, I have to wait. Moses had to wait 40 years to see the fulfillment of God's calling in his life. Noah had to wait 120 years before he ever saw one drop of rain. Elijah waited 3.5 years to rain. You're complaining? I'm complaining? We cannot even have what they're having. They made those sacrifices because they trusted in God's person. They trusted in His purpose. And they trusted in His process. Tonight, let us ponder on these things. delays come in our life. Unanswered prayers come into our life. We find sometimes that we are in the bottom of the bottomless pit. Is there a bottom to a bottomless pit, Pastor? I don't know. But we are at the very bottom, but we only feel that way. But God has a plan for us. He just don't want to show it to you. He will answer you at His own time. Why? So that you will put your trust in Him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." It tells us to trust in the Lord, not on anybody else. It tells us not to trust in our pastor. We should pray for our pastor as he feed us with the Word of God. We should pray for the staff of the church to make things running. But let us not put our trust in them. Let us put our trust in God. Amen. Because they might fail us, but God will never fail us. I hope that we have learned something tonight, and I hope that it blessed our heart as the message was preached. Let us pray.